الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel we welcome you back to our silsila on the etiquettes and the manners and the sunnahs of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. For the last few silsilas we've been discussing the etiquettes and the manners of eating. And we've been trying to learn the sunnah method of certain aspects of this daily action so that whenever we eat, we can try to do so according to the sunnah so that our eating becomes for us a means of attaining reward and blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla as well. So continuing with where we left off, inshallah, we're at the point now where we're going to learn those things that we should do when our meal finishes. Yeah? And we're going to study those in today's silsila. Before doing that, there's one thing that we have not mentioned so far, which is particular types of food that are sunnah. Yeah? Proven from the ahadith, from the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, particular foods that he used to, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, used to like eating. Amongst them is vinegar. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam used to enjoy eating vinegar, and this is proven that it was something that he used to like. Furthermore, he used to like honey. Yeah, he used to like dates, khujur, which we say melon, cucumber, and squash. Yeah, these things, these foods are proven to be sunnah, and that he used to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very much like eating them. So our viewers of Madani channel at home, we might already be having these as part of our routine diet. Any honey, vinegar, dates, watermelon, cucumber. Most people have cucumber as part of the salad. Yeah, vinegar, as you know, is a very common thing to have on fish and chips. Watermelon, people have it as part of their fruit. Now, all of these things we probably eat anyway. Yet, if we make the intention that I'm eating this food because it is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then inshaAllah azza wa jal, if Allah ta'ala wills, we will gain the reward of acting upon that sunnah as well. Yeah, so alhamdulillah, these are the benefits of knowledge, benefits of sitting in these halakas, benefits of watching these silsilas as well. It further states, regarding eating dates, eating khujur, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would eat the dates with watermelon or with cucumber or with bread at different times. Furthermore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very much liked to eat the food present at the bottom of the cooking pot. Yeah, this was something that he used to like as well. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also very much liked something called sareed. Yeah, you might be thinking, what is sareed? Our viewers of Madani channel might have not heard of this before. Sareed is basically when pieces of bread are mixed in with gravy, yani with salad, they are mixed in. This is known as sareed, and this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like to eat as well. So we were talking, my dear Islamic brothers, about the coming to the end of a meal. Yeah, you've had the meal, we've talked about in the previous silsilas making intentions, what to read before, what to read during eating, and the sunnahs to act upon during eating, how to say it, which fingers to use. Now, when you are about to finish your meal, it is very, very important for us to try and clean the plate that we're eating from. You need to finish the food that we're eating. It is stated in the hadith, whoever licks the plate after eating, then that plate makes dua for him. May Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal free you from the fire of hell, as you have freed me from the shaitan. SubhanAllah, what a beautiful dua. After one has eaten food and licked his fingers and he tells us clean, one should pour some water into the container and drink that water as well. Yeah. So you're eating, and the plate in which you've had your salad and roti, or in the plate in which you've had your pasta, for example, whatever you're eating, then to pour water into that and drink it to make sure there's no food left over. It's a beautiful reward. It states in Ihya'ul Ulum that the person who does this, he will reap the reward of freeing one slave. So great reward in this as well. So that's to do when you're finishing your meal. Then there are a few du'as that can be read as well. It's also a sunnah to pick one's teeth after eating as well. Again, a lot of people do this. You'll have seen yourselves a lot of people doing this. But if you make the intention of sunnah, inshallah, we'll get reward for that as well. Acha, and then the du'as. Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwah. The translation of which is that all glorification is for Almighty Allah, who has fed me and has granted me sustenance without my skill and strength. Beautiful meaning as well. And one third dua that we're going to learn as well is that if you are eating at somebody's house or somebody is feeding you, somebody has provided you with food, then look at our beautiful religion of Islam. It tells us to make dua for them as well. Yeah, there is a dua. Allahumma at'im man at'amani wasqi man saqani. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, feed the one who has fed me and provide the one with a drink who has provided me with drink. Subhanallah. This is a dua mentioned in Sahih Muslim Sharif. Inshallah, we'll practice this as well. Allahumma at'im man at'amani wasqi man saqani. Alhamdulillah, these are the du'as that we should read after we eat. Then there's another couple of matters to point out as well. After one eats, it says that taking a siesta after having lunch, any of the food that you have during the day, the lunch time, to take a siesta, you need to take a short nap. This is a sunnah, especially for those individuals who spend the night doing ibadat, yani doing worship. It facilitates the night worship. And it is also beneficial that after you've eaten something, to have a short walk. If the doctors say, Amir Ahl Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami, mentions in his book that according to doctors, a person should walk 150 steps after having some food. How many steps? 150. And this is beneficial for your health. So all the brothers here, you make intention as well. You know, it's not hard. Often what happens is after we've eaten, what do? We stretch our legs out and we just lie down there. Yeah? Or we'll go back and sit down at our desk and carry on doing the work that we were doing before. It's not hard, 150 steps. Yeah? You start walking. While you're walking, read the Durood Sharif. Yeah? While you're walking 150 steps, who knows, you might read 50 times the Durood Pak. And the blessing of reciting 50 times the Durood Pak daily, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever recites daily upon me 50 times the Durood Pak, on the day of judgment, I will do musafaha with that person. Yeah, so these are little things that we can all act upon in our daily routine to improve our level of worship, to improve our level of practice as well. And also, if it's possible for you after lunch, what is the sunnah to do? Siesta. What does siesta mean? Sleeping. Yeah, for a short while to sleep as well. After eating, wash your hands thoroughly and dry them as well. If you need be, you can use soap. It is permissible to wipe your hands clean with a towel, but one should not wipe the hands on the clothes that you're wearing. This is something you see a lot. People wash their hands after eating and then can't find a towel, can't find anything else. You'll see people wiping their hands on their clothes. This should be avoided. Why? A lot of the scholars, they say that wiping washed hands dry with your own shirt or your clothes, this will result in the removal of blessings. So this should be avoided. Yeah, so you wash your hands after eating, use a towel or use something like that. Another a really important thing for us to be careful about is it says here that after you've eaten, straight after you've eaten, you should avoid vigorous exercise. You should avoid lifting or dragging heavy objects and doing physically tough activities. Yeah? So you've just had your meal, so that's not the right time for you to go for a jog for 5 miles. Yeah? You just have your meal, you're like that. I'm off to the gym, I'm going to lift, you know, 50 kg on my chest. Yeah? This is not the right time. What's the danger of this is mentioned here, that if you do heavy exercise or heavy lifting immediately after eating, then this is going to cause damage to your appendicitis, your intestine, and your internal organs. And, you know, especially if you're doing something that you're moving about a lot, yeah, the food needs time to digest, and for all the nutrients to be taken out for the body to take benefit from them. You're not allowing your body to do that if you're doing physical exercise straight away. So the best thing to do is what? Walk. Yeah? For how many steps? 150 steps. And finally, before we bring this segment to a close, there's a couple of types of food that should be avoided that are mentioned here as well. It states that if you're cooking an animal, though the blood remaining in the meat of a sacrificed animal is pure, it is forbidden to consume it. Yeah? Similarly, the blood vessels, which sometimes you can see on the bones of on drumsticks, for example, it is also forbidden to eat them as well. Yeah? Also, it is haram, yani forbidden, to eat rotten meat. If you have meat that has gone rotten, yani it has gone off, yeah, whether it's meat or any food that has turned bad, then, and any smell is emanating from this, or you can see mold or you can see fungus on it, then the food has gone off, and it is haram, it is not permissible for you to eat such food. Because eating such food is dangerous. Yeah, it can cause problems inside your body. So these kind of things should be avoided. Now then a question will arise that if we have leftover food, yeah, what should we do with that? And there are two answers to that question. First and foremost, only prepare that which you know you will be able to consume. Yeah, sometimes we over-prepare. And this is something for our viewers of Madani Channel at home as well. Yeah, when we have Dawat, people coming to our house, or when we're preparing a particular meal, sometimes we go over the top. We prepare so much that we can't eat. Yeah. One way of doing so is to share out the food to your neighbors. Yeah. So that the food does not go to waste. Another thing is to prepare only that much which you know you will be able to finish. And if you get left over, for example, leftover bread, Amir Ahl Sunnah advises us in here, rather than throwing away leftover food, because this is israf, wastage, and wastage is haram. Rather than throwing it away, feed this to sheep or to birds, yeah, so that they can take benefit from it as well. And if possible, you can use it as part of another meal. Make a gravy or something with it as well, which is permissible and which would be a good use of that food. Yeah. So Alhamdulillah, my dear Sami, with us today, we've learned about a few foods that are sunnah. We've learned about a few foods that we should avoid, that we are not allowed to eat. And also we've learned about some of the actions that we can do when our meal comes to an end. So now what I'm going to do for the purpose of revision, for the purpose of reminding us about what we learned, I'm going to ask our brothers who are here with me today to give me some feedback about what we've learned, what we've revised today. And this will be an opportunity for our viewers of Madani Channel at home as well, for you to kind of look back over the last few minutes what we've learned, to make sure you've understood it, make sure you've learned it, and inshallah when we've understood it properly, that will make it easy for us to act upon it as well. Ji, who would like to give us some feedback about what we've learned today? Ji Tayyeba, you can go first.
Alhamdulillah, I've learned today that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked eating vinegar, watermelon, squash.
Very good, mashallah. Watermelon, you mentioned, and also dates as well. And it says in here as well that sometimes you need to eat them together. MashaAllah, very good, well remembered. And these are things that you would agree that sometimes they're part of our diet anyway. Yeah. You know, we eat watermelon, we eat dates, we have vinegar. Mm. So if we can make intention that these items are sunnah, and we make that intention, inshallah we'll get a reward for eating them as well. Yeah? SubhanAllah. And one other thing to mention here for my viewers of Madani Channel, that you know many of these foods that we've heard about, honey, dates, watermelon, cucumber, not only are these foods sunnah, but science has proved that there are so many medical benefits to eating these foods as well. Yeah? So in following the sunnah, this is benefit for our deen and our dunya as well. Alhamdulillah. Ji, brother, would you like to say something?
Yeah, I've got a question there. Because in the UK, there's a lot of people that sell crabs and shrimps in the seaside areas. Would that be permissible to eat?
Very good question, mashallah. You asked about crabs and shrimps and any sea creatures, basically. And this is often quite a misconception. People are not sure. Some people say different things about this. I'll tell you what is mentioned here. It states, except fish all other animals found in water are haram to consume. If a fish died naturally, without being hunted and floats upside down, it is haram to eat it. And it is also haram to eat crabs. So in answer to your first question, to eat crabs, for viewers of Madri channel at home as well, this might be something really useful for you to take away, that it is haram to eat crabs. As for eating shrimps, scholars have some different opinions on this. Yeah, there's some conflicting opinions, you could say, from the scholars. Although permissible, one should still refrain from consuming them because it's better to be avoided. Alhamdulillah, my dear Sami brothers and viewers of Madri channel, in this series we've been talking about Islamic manners of eating, yani sunnat method of eating, some good etiquette, some good adab, and some good manners as well that we can all adopt. And no doubt we've all benefited from this, we've learned something new. Some beautiful habits, inshallah, that will help us with our deen, because they are praiseworthy acts. They are acts that we will get reward for if we do with good intentions, but also will help us with our dunya. Because many of these things that we've heard about in this silsila and in this series, they have many, many medical benefits as well. Yeah? Such as the advice we heard about eating fruits first, the advice we heard about walking after we eat, the advice we heard about not doing physical activity right after we eat, and about certain foods that are very, very beneficial for our health. Alhamdulillah, we've learned all of this in this series. And alhamdulillah, this is the aim of Dawat Islami, to propagate, to spread the beautiful message of the Quran and the Sunnah, so that we become Muslims, not just by name, but by action as well. Yeah? So our daily action, whether that's eating, is sleeping, whether it's talking, whether it's conducting business, whether it's spending time with our family, whether it's traveling, all of these actions that we do, the aim of Dawat Islami is to give us information about how these actions were done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by his companions, so that we can try to follow our lives and mold our lives according to them as well. Because no doubt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best of all examples. And his companions and their lives and the lives of the awliya, our pious predecessors, they are inspiration for us as well. And Dawat-e-Islami, through its many different activities, Madani channel being one of its activities, is trying to revive these beautiful teachings and to make these common amongst our communities. That's here in the UK, alhamdulillah, that's in the English-speaking countries all over the world. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami is working day and night to spread this beautiful message. My message to all of you brothers here today and to our viewers of Madani channel is, don't make this, you know, the end of your learning journey. Yeah, there is so much more to learn, so much more for us to learn. You know, knowledge is like an ocean. The scholars, they say knowledge is like an ocean, and no matter how much you swim, you're never going to come to the end of that ocean. Yeah, so keep on this journey of knowledge. How do we continue the journey of knowledge? Travel on the Madani kafilas of Dawat Islam. If you're watching us in the UK, then kafilas travel in most of the cities of the UK. In most of the cities of the UK, you have on a Thursday evening, you have a weekly ijtima that takes place in the evening. Yeah, maybe starts between 7 and 8 o'clock in most cities. I'm talking from down Southend-on-Sea, London, in the south of the UK, through the Midlands, through the north, and all the way up to Scotland, alhamdulillah, and even in Wales, Dawat-e-Islami has weekly ijtimas taking place on Thursdays. Attend these weekly ijtimas. Contact your local brothers in your local masjid and ask them for the details. They will tell you. And inshallah, when you start attending, when you start learning, this journey of knowledge will continue, and it will benefit you, and it will benefit your families, and it will benefit our communities as well. I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal gives us all tawfiq to act upon what has been said and what has been learned today. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.